We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
823 WCCO. Time for our weekly visit with the Carlson School of Management here at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Paul Waller, speaking in overseas today. He's in Tokyo. And joining us is an associate professor from the University of Minnesota. That would be Brad Greenwood. Brad is an associate professor of information and decision sciences at the U of M Carlson School of Management. So that means his research is examining the intended and unintended consequences of innovation. And it's really, I think, right up when the kids come in, boy, this guy is up to speed on the things happening in technology. Dr. Greenwood, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Thanks for taking time to join us here this morning.
It's my pleasure.
You know, what's interesting to me, if I can get right into innovation and high-tech things, Uber and Lyft. And I remember when Uber first came in and those of us of a certain age were a little hesitant and our kids were telling us, I got to try it. It's something that you really follow quite closely, and they're in the news this morning.
I think what Uber's been doing for a long time is really disrupting these incumbent business models. And naturally, I think people are resistant to the idea. It's like, oh, the cab driver's professionally licensed by some ethereal state force. Who is this person who's driving? So I think there's been some natural resistance for a long time. But I think Uber and Lyft deciding to remove their forced arbitration clauses is really interesting because it's definitely a significant change in the narrative.
Boy, is it ever. And then safety issues, too, you know.
Yeah, well, so I think there's a couple things to note about forced arbitration. It's like, one, we hear, like, forced arbitration, this doesn't actually preclude the state from bringing criminal charges against somebody. This is simply the ability of a consumer to take them to civil court over an issue. And these clauses are extremely common, like in everything from telecom to health insurance to banking. I mean, consumer electronics. In-N-Out Burger has a forced arbitration clause. Match.com has one.
Wow.
So these things are really common. Nevertheless, I think it's an important signal that Uber and Lyft are both sending to the market because there's plenty of evidence that safety issues have popped up when these firms come to town. And, you know, it ranged, CNN did this nice investigation a little while ago. And there's obviously the murders in Michigan. But I think what's glossed over a lot of the time is that, you know, if you take the case of Jason Dalton, who was the murderer in Michigan, you know, they caught this guy 2 hours after it happened. I think the question is like, well, would that have happened in a taxi cab? So observing the counterfactual in terms of safety for Uber and Lyft is really, really difficult.
You know, Doctor, something that came up in that case was something called digital trace data. Can you explain that?
All right. So what digital trace data allows us to do is because Uber, the platform, is actively monitoring the phone that the driver uses to connect you. We know if something happens in an Uber, we know who the driver was and we know who the passenger was by virtue of the fact that they're both using this piece of technology, right? Moreover, we have geocoding of where precisely the vehicle went on any given ride.
You know, what's amazing to me, Brad, is as you entered your field of study and as you went to the several levels of education, did you ever think you'd be talking about something like this?
I did not. Not at all. I started doing a lot of public and population health when I came out, and I had a little bit too much to drink at a friend's wedding and ended up taking an Uber home. And that's what really sparked my interest in how Uber's affecting people's behavior, or just ride sharing and the sharing economy in general.
Yeah, fascinating, man. Non-ending, it seems like. The other one, the thing I wanted to briefly ask you about, and I'll let you get back to work this morning, but you did an examination of how physicians and entrepreneurs react to the emergencies of these new technologies that you know so well and how they update behaviors as a result.
So I haven't done anything specifically with Uber and Lyft and how physicians change behavior. My work on physician behavior mostly relates to the emergence of new guidelines and new pieces of technology. So you say, like, you take the case of stenting, which is kind of a wildly overprescribed procedure. When new information comes out about the efficacy of stenting, how do physicians and hospitals react to that? The study is kind of interesting because when new technologies come about, so if you have a new advent in stenting, everybody begins to adopt it. But if somebody comes along, in this case, we look at the American College of Cardiology and the American Heart Association come along and say, well, you shouldn't stent for low-severity heart disease patients. What we see is that profit-driven enterprises are very slow to adopt these new guidelines. And in fact, in some circumstances, will increase their use of stenting despite the fact that it offers no efficacy for the patient. And I think that that's something that, you know, people should be aware of when talking with their physician. It's, you know, what exactly are the motivations and is there a profit incentive that comes along with this?
Yeah, really interesting. Hey, thanks for taking the time to join us this morning. Great having you on, Brad.
The pleasure is absolutely mine.
He's Dr. Brad Greenwood, Associate Professor of Information and Decision Sciences at the University of Minnesota's and Carlson School of Management on WCCO this morning. Hey, this past Monday, more than 1,500 of those Carlson School students, by the way, walked across the stage at Mariucci Arena, got their diplomas, and almost every one of them will be now stepping into incredible careers. I mean, that unique combination of a world-class faculty, a curriculum that's hands-on and global, and the engagement of the dynamic business community here has helped the Carlson School become one of the best places, one of the best places for a young person to start or advance their career. And these aren't just any jobs the students are going to. They're the jobs they sought. When Poets and Quants asked business school alumni if their first jobs were in their desired companies and industries, more than 90% of Carlson School alumni responded that they were a top five finish alongside Wharton and the University of Virginia. So you don't have to just take my word about the incredible job the Carlson School is doing to prepare the newest additions to our workforce. You can for yourself at carlsonschool.umn.edu. The Carlson School of Management, where business is a force for good.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.